I don't want to be musing on that. I want to start. So we're going to start. Okay. Thank you, everyone, for being here tonight. And let's surrender some personality together, shall we? Let me get the guardians to start us off. Ooh, okay, hang on. I'm ready too. Well, here we go. Ooh. Oh, we could be doing communion. Hello, everyone. We're very pleased to join your circle and contribute to the evolution you are in. The profound, profound, profound evolutionary journey that you are committed to and moving through. It's really beautiful. And we know very, very deeply, we understand very clearly how challenging it can be at times, how challenging it can feel physically, how challenging it can feel mentally and emotionally, how much it pushes on you. The pressure you feel when you face personality and you say no over and over and over and over again, even when you're frustrated and angry and confused and uncertain and frightened and all the other feelings that personality throws up as it attempts to see what will stick to distract you from the journey you're on. Personality is throwing a temper tantrum, and it's throwing its toys around, and it's saying, I hate you, and all the other things that temper tantrum people say, as a way to derail you from your focus and to get you off of your path. And a lot of times, it will use the feelings of the body to try to indicate to you that you are not in the right place. The vastly changed state is not meant to be immediately comfortable because it's change, and change is often uncomfortable. It's rarely comfortable. Even welcome change is difficult. Elohim has told you that so many times, right? You get a new job, you're excited about the job, but there's difficulties in adapting to a new job. There's difficulties in adapting to living in a new place or being with a new partner, any of that stuff. There are difficulties you travel. I'm so excited to go there. And it's like, whoa, what is this on the menu, right? There are challenges even in welcome change. And in the vastly changed state, the challenges are confusing because you are surrendering what you know and moving into the unknown. You cannot predict what the non-personality experience will be. There's no way for you to know ahead of time how it will turn out or how it will feel or what it will look like. You cannot know. And this is the leap that is taking all of you to do. What is clear is that the way it's been is no longer acceptable. Therefore, the leap must be made. However, that does not mean that leaping into the new will feel normal and right. Now, you have choiceless choice, you have tidy timings, you have does, which helps smooth the way. But those are not yet a constant state. Those are not yet, constant. They're not yet constant, right? They come and go a bit. And in the go parts, in the in-between, when you're not experiencing those states, it's very common. We're observing it with many people that personality jumps in, throws a temper tantrum, and attempts to get your attention and derail you from your focus, to take you out of what you are doing. And it has to be a deepening commitment to, even when it feels really strange, disorienting uncertainty. These words aren't just made up and casual. Elohim spent a lot of energy picking words and infusing them with meaning that would assist you in navigating this time. You're in disorienting in uncertainty. not just regular uncertainty, I don't know how it's going to turn out, but disoriented uncertainty in that I don't know how it's going to turn out and I don't even know what the options for it turning out are. I don't even know what's possible. And the more I can let go of the need to allow personality to determine the potential outcomes, the more I can be in awareness. So I have to push myself even further into disorientation, into discomfort, into confusion, into unease. I have to abide in that while this change unfolds. That's a big ask. You're making a huge request of yourself. And you have the tide of a trillion lifetimes and the pressure of all of your lifetimes and looking around at society all saying that life under personality's thumb is the only option. So there's a lot of pressure on you right now. There's pressure on you to choose and choose and choose and choose to surrender personality. There's pressure on you to not try to predict or understand or imagine what it's like to live without personality. There's pressure on you to say, okay, I'm going to do this even though I don't know where I'm going to land. I'm going to jump even though I don't know what's underneath my feet when I land. It's a lot. And it's worth it. Because personality is not what it has always billed itself to be. It is not the great answer. It is not the make your life good. It's not the resolve all your conflicts. It's not the make things make sense. It doesn't do any of the things that you have continuously imagined it will eventually do if you just contort yourself in the right way. If you just eat the right food or go to sleep at the right time or say the right thing to your friends or read the right books or listen to the right videos, somehow personality will finally dish out to you the life you've dreamed of. Personality runs around moving the goalposts and making things difficult for you and sells you on the idea that it's actually your best friend when actually it's a destructive force. Letting go of it and surrendering into the unknown, into the disorientation, into uncertainty, into vast change, into radically different, offers you the pathway out from under personality's thumb and into the field of infinite possibilities, into the vastness of awareness, into the experience of does as a way of being, where it's duh as a way of being, not as a transitory every once in a while state, but the unfolding, unrolling, rolling out of the duh, where you are constantly in the, but of course that's how it is. Of course that came together in a tidy way. Of course that aligned in a neat and easy to interact with way. All the promises personality has made to you about how life will be better if you start to experience a transformed life, not just the better life personality lied to you about, but a transformed life where your actual experience of moment by moment living unfolds, unfurls, rolls out in a way that you've never experienced before. And you start to have these extraordinary experiences where physicality stops being this rigid thing, where the limitations that you've been operating under and all across your life stop being present, and it just rolls out a continuous, like a fountain, a continuous bubbling up, like Elohim has said, a bubbling up of potentials and possibilities and experiences and explorations, all unfolding, unfurling, rolling out all the time. So right now you experience dull and choiceless choice and tidy timings here and there, and they will roll out. The way that tidy timings come together and you're like, ooh, that was super tidy. Okay. What if every moment of the day was like that? where it was just obvious that that's the way it should be. It was an obvious duh. There was no arguing with it. Everything was choicelessly unfolding in a way that expands into infinite potential, where it's not just choicelessly unfolding that, oh, cool, I was hungry and there was an apple there. It choicelessly unfolds in an infinite potential that is not bound by clock time. And so it's not just this lifetime that you're experiencing that unfolds in this duh way. You actually have experiences with other incarnational moments as they all are available to you, because now we're not held in the limitations of personality. We're not restricted to what personality can dish out. We're not in that tiny bit of the circle that Elohim was mentioning a lot a while back. You are actually unfettered, and you have unfettered access to the truth that you don't end at your skin, and unfettered access to the fact that clock time is irrelevant, unfettered access to the field of infinite possibilities. That you don't guide or choose or push or any of that using your mind and personality and what you've had experiences of before to imagine what you can have experiences of later. Because you're not using that limited scope. You're able to experience and explore the unfolding as all of these other potentials become actual probabilities and possibilities that you can experience in the unfolding moment that never stops. That is what you are doing. When you surrender personality and you detach from the limitation and you stop playing personality's game, that is the life that happens. Now, of course, we can say those words as a descriptor, but we can't explain how it will actually feel, what it will seem like, what you will do with it, how it will unfold. One, because we don't have the language for it, and two, because we would still be talking to your personalities. This is going to be something where you say, this is what unfolded, and we say, yes, that's an indicator of no personality. We're not going to say, no personality will be like this. You will say, I had this experience, and it will be, yes, that was an indicator of no personality or limited personality. It can't be told to you. It must be experienced. We cannot predict what it will look like for each of you, but we can point out when you have done it. And we commit to doing just that. And we're going to get the visionaries for you. Just a moment. Well, you know, it's a hot night when the guardians start out like that, huh? Really awesome. Really awesome kind of summary, and also a call to what is possible. A call to what is possible. Not what is possible in the future. What is possible in this presence right now? Turning in, down and in, recognizing the temptation to engage with personality and turning away from it and saying, you know, that's a dry well. There's nothing more I can get out of it. There's nothing more I can get out of it. I've already thought those thoughts and felt those feelings and been in those fears and been in that confusion and done all those things, and I've already done enough of it. I've already done enough of it. I refuse to engage in the same way I've engaged before. I refuse to do it. And at a minimum, you can go to neutrality. You can go to step back and be nothing. At a minimum. But you can also say, I choose to not engage, and I'm going to actively turn in to my center, actively focus on my heart, actively feel this present moment in new ways, actively ask myself what is true now in ways that are designed to reinforce the fact that I am present in this moment, that I am in presence. I can actively engage with that. And then not let personality tell you how it should be or evaluate it. That's one of the hardest steps of all of it. Because a lot of times actively engaging with presence is quiet. There's not a lot going on. It's very almost like a stasis feeling, right? It can be like a lull, is a word Veronica sometimes uses for it. And that lull feels unusual and vastly changed in all those words. And personality can jump in and say, you're doing it wrong, or this is bad, or how boring is your life, or nothing's happening. And in that moment, you have to disagree. You have to disagree. You have to say, you know what? Sure, it's quiet and it's boring and it's lull and it's silent. And those feelings about that, that personality has allowed me to have, aren't comfortable. And those aren't the only ways I can interpret the experience I'm having. Those aren't the only ways I can interpret the experience I'm having. I refuse to only interpret this experience through the lens of personality. I just won't do it anymore. I just will not do this anymore. Now, Veronica also has noticed that she really has benefited from sort of wearing out the physical body. So moving the physical body around. She's been doing a lot of cleanup for her neighbor, and so it's like rearranging a garage that hasn't been rearranged for 30 years kind of a thing. And it's messy and it's dirty and it's hot and it's moving around and getting sore and getting tired and wearing out the body, and just flat out doing something with the body has been really helpful to her when personality is trying to talk her into staying in limitation, staying in a restricted way of experiencing the world. Like trying to churn around in her mind and tell her how things are and make her worry about things as a way to stay small. She just goes and, you know, sort of wears out the body. And that has helped her. She also has been really, really focusing, and Elohim may talk about this later, really, really, really focusing on being extremely sensitive to the way her unhealed core emotion is being used by personality to really, really, really jump up and down on sensitive parts of her. And so highlighting within herself, how is my unhealed personality being activated by personality, or unhealed core emotion being activated by personality, and seeking out the places that that is happening rather than just maybe noticing it sometimes, but recognizing, I know my unhealed core emotion and personality are holding hands right now, and I need to seek out where they are still deeply affecting me. And that has been a very profound experience. She came up with a bit of a mantra to help her shut down the unhealed core emotion. And she just, while she was cleaning the garage for hours and hours and hours, she just kept repeating the same words in her mind every time she had a thought that she could tell was personality. She just repeated that word, those words in her mind, and ground down. It really worked. It really worked. So instead of having her mind occupied by worry and all the other things personality wanted her to be occupied by, she just kept using that mantra to have a response to the thoughts personality was generating. So that worked for her. Maybe it'll work for you. We're going to get the warrior for you now. Yeah. It's a warrior time. It's a warrior time. We have spoken with you many times over the years about using your warrior energy in various settings, right? So let's remind you of some of that. Personality is a very tenacious foe. It's very tenacious. It keeps popping back up. You think you got that guy and he just pops back up again. There he is again, right? He multiplies even. And so when you have a tenacious foe like that, you have to be wise. Because you can't just, you know, it's not overdone. It's not just like, ah, good, he's gone. I don't have to think about him anymore. No. You have to be very wise in your approach to a tenacious foe, right? You get on the battlefield with these sneaky sneakies that run around all covered with camouflage and pop up here and pop up there and try to shoot at you or hit you or throw things at you, right? And you have to say, wow, I'm up against a tenacious foe. And in the battle with the tenacious foe, you must be wise. It doesn't help to charge in because you'll get surrounded. It doesn't help to throw things from afar because there's too many of them. You have to be wise. And how do you access wisdom? You stop and you settle. You settle into yourself. You settle inward. Well, this is the down and in thing. You settle in and it changes the scope of the battle. Now, if you're imagining a battlefield like you guys have these wars, this analogy doesn't work very well. So don't get caught up in that. Recognize that your battlefield has always been energetic. You've always had your battlefield and your foes are thoughts and habits and fears, right? So when you notice that they're popping up left, right, and center, and it doesn't matter when you knock one down, if five take its place, you cannot continue to battle them one-on-one. You cannot continue to imagine that once you knock them down, they stay down. You have to be wiser than that. You have to step into yourself, and by going down and in and doing all the things they've already talked about tonight, it changes the shape of the battlefield. It creates weakness in your foes. It evaporates them from the field. You change the shape of the battle by changing your interior experience of yourself. Doing exactly what they explained earlier. We don't have to even repeat it. You change the shape of the battle by changing your interior experience. Committing within yourself to abide in the vastly changed state, to say disorienting uncertainty, bring it on. That's all right. I can handle disorienting uncertainty. If disorienting uncertainty is the crucible I have to pass through to get to the life of unfolding, bring it on. I want to be disoriented right now. Let's be disoriented right now. Let's start right now. Bring it on. Use that warrior energy to say, bring it. I'm not going to postpone this. I want to get through this. Look for disorienting uncertainty. We used to always tell you, bring your enemies close to you, right? Hold those triggers and habits close to you so that you can transform them. If they're hiding around in your psyche someplace, then they can muck about from far away. But instead you say, no, disorienting uncertainty right here. We're going to be joined at the hip. Vastly changed state, you're going to be at the other hip. Looking out and not having an idea where my next foot's going to land, right now, I want to start today. I don't even want to wait till tomorrow. I want to start right now, on this moment. Bring it on. If this is the crucible I need to walk through in order to get to the other side of this, I want to start right now, and I want to be absolutely unwavering as I get through it. I don't need a break from it. Why would I need a break from it? If I need a break from it, it's just going to take longer to get to the other side. I'm going to push through. I'm going to stay on this. I'm going to be relentless in my application of attention to this situation. Absolutely relentless. Fierce and relentless. I don't want to look away from it. I don't want to get away from it. I don't want to have relief from it. I want it to transform in me. I want it to transform in me, go into the heat of the fire and come out a transformed element. I want it to transform within my heart into a new element of emanation, a new guiding force in my life. I'm not trying to pretend or hide from this. There's no point. I'm on the battlefield and the foe is tricky and tenacious. I may as well just be fiercely present in it. You know, imagine that your loved ones are over that next hill. And to get to your loved ones, to be in community and protect them and love them and nurture them and grow with them, you have to go through this battle to get there. They're over there. You're over here. You've got to go through that battle. You're not going to say, well, maybe next Tuesday. If your kids and your woman is there on the other side of that hill, and you know there's some tough characters in between you and them, do you sleep first? Do you eat first? You don't even piss first. All you do is make sure that you have your weapons at hand and easy to access, and you set out without hesitation or delay. This is the kind of energy that we'd like you to bring to this, because you're so close to the end of this now that you don't want to waver. Don't let personality reassert itself and get a hold of you even more when you've gotten rid of so much of it. Don't let that happen. Be fierce. We know you have it in you. We see it. We've seen you do this before on other matters. Now is the time. All the tools, literally all the tools of your trade. For us, that's bows and arrows and spears and knives and, you know, all that stuff. For you, it's all the things that Elohim has given you over all these years. You have them right at hand. They're constantly present. All you have to do is put them to use. None of you can claim that you don't have the background. You don't have the experience. You don't have the information. You don't have the empowerment to do this. Not a single one of you can claim that. There's no excuse. There's only hesitation and delay because you don't know what's between you and the other side of that hill that you're trying to get to. You don't know how many foes or how weird it'll be or if there's quicksand or mud or bogs or who knows. Well, guess what? Guess what? That doesn't matter. There's a higher purpose at play. There's a higher purpose at play that is more important than knowing what steps you will step as you go. And that higher purpose at play is the transformation you desire and deserve. So if stuff happens in between, stuff happens in between. Persevere. We know you can do this. You've been taught well. We're going to get the girls. It's funny coming after the warrior. Whew, steamy. They're hot to trot tonight. And every single thing they said was really good. So we hope you listened to every word of it. Now, let's talk about your emotional state in the journey, right? We know for Veronica, it has been really challenging. It has been really challenging to stay emotionally level and not feel sad and upset and frustrated and confused and alone and just kind of, you know, at a loss about things. And again, these are just personalities, playthings. Sure, there's a lot of powerful things going on that you could feel sad and confused and hurt by. Okay. And you know what? Go ahead and feel sad and confused and hurt if that's what really needs to happen. But don't let feeling sad and confused and hurt mean personalities in charge. Let the body have the experience the body has to have, but don't stay mired in the idea that that then means X, Y, and Z that have always happened when you felt sad and confused and hurt have to keep happening. Allow instead yourself to say, okay, sad and confused and hurt makes sense here. And. Right? Sad and confused and hurt make sense here, period? No. Sad and confused and hurt make sense here, and I can still turn in, and I can still connect to this moment, and I can be in presence deeply, and. So important. You don't forget about the and. Personality wants you to be in limitation, right? Small. Sad, confused, hurt, period. Stop. That's all you get. I feel sad, confused, and hurt, and that's infinite. Because what comes after the and? Who knows? Infinite possibilities. Field of infinite possibilities is coming after the and. It's imperative that you allow yourself to have that and. Have the feelings you have. Let them be real. Let the body experience things. The body's getting it last, so sometimes it still needs to experience things. And have an and. And have an aunt. We're getting Fred. Wonder what he's going to talk about. Okay. What are we going to talk about? We'll talk about it. When you set out on this journey so many of your Earth years ago, and you decided that the idea of going to a place where you are limited on purpose, where you're burdened with emotions and pain and death and fear, where you navigate based on really primitive drives of reproduction and territorialism and accumulation. And you're surrounded by gobs and gobs of other Homo sapiens doing the same damn thing. You, in that journey, what sometimes gets overlooked is that you never stopped being an infinite and immortal soul. You never stopped being a being that is uncontained, that is expansive and incredible, and has had adventures and experiences that a human mind can't even hold, nonetheless be able to conceive of. You've never stopped having that spark of truth inside you. You've brought a little piece of that infiniteness into this incarnation, and it lives inside of you. It's a spark. And that spark gets brighter and brighter as personality gets dumped overboard. In the past, Elohim has talked about this as more and more of your soul's perspective is able to be embodied, right? Embodying your soul's perspective. And they talked about that a lot back in the day. And the idea that you come here with just a smidgen of your soul, but you're making room for more and more and more. And none of us have talked about that for a long time. But right now, that language is kind of, you know, old-fashioned right now. Because right now, the truth of the matter is that your surrender of personality allows for you to experience the truth of you. Now, we are not saying the truth of you as a Homo sapien. We're not even saying the truth of you as a Homo spiritus, right? That all feels like such old language now. What we're saying to you is that your surrender of personality allows you to experience the truth of you. Not you as the person that we're actually talking to who has ears that hears these words, but the truth of you, the infinite and immortal you. You're not just making the human body into human 2.0. You're actually allowing the truth of the soul to experience Earth. You know, this word infinite in infinite possibilities, this is not just like extra portions. It truly is infinite. How can you experience the field of infinite possibilities as a human? You stop being just human. The human body, the gingerbread, operates as a vessel for the truth of you to be walked around and experienced in this world. So we're not just trying to get a better version of you as a human. We are in allowing for the infusing of your actual truth into physicality, which opens up not just the complete, what do you guys call it, Akashic records or whatever, the complete library of your Earth experiences. But it lets you infuse the earth experience with the wisdom of your soul. And you would do well to not try to extrapolate what you think that means. You'd really do well not to try to extrapolate what that means. You'd really do well to just let that fill into you, flow into you, and not try to have it mean something to your personality and your brain when your current setup with a personality and a brain and in the limited way you've experienced your physical body can't grasp it. That doesn't make it untrue. It just means that until there's enough personality kicked out, and until the whole I don't end at my skin and the recognition of the big B body and the sensory system really gets visceral, you can't grasp what we're saying. You can only make assumptions about what we're saying. You can't onboard it. And you won't have to try to onboard it. It will be a result of the surrender, not something then you have to go do a chore about. We wanted to bring it up tonight because we feel a very intense shift happening for each of you. Elohim always calls it retreat season. We call it just, it's damn well time. And that big shift means talking about things that are not just the words that have been used before. The field of infinite possibilities has been used a million times. Okay, what does that actually mean? Well, tonight we gave you some clues. And we're going to get Elohim next. Hello, everyone. Welcome, welcome. Well, I guess you've been here. We're the ones getting welcomed. Whew. All right. First off, we're going to drink some water. While we're drinking, if you have anything to say about what they've talked about tonight, right? Let's stay on topic. Let's have a real focus on what they've said tonight. If you want to say anything about that, now's your chance while we kind of, you know, get back into Veronica's body here a little bit, because they take her off into la-la land. And for things like drinking, we need to have a little more connection to the body. Whew. They were definitely, what do you call it, on fire. Definitely really focused. And part of that is due to the fact that Veronica has been doing a profound amount of work over the last period where we haven't had meetings. One of them talked a bit about the fact that we have been working with her about her unhealed core emotion quite a lot. And we want to share more details about that with you. So if anybody's typing, that's fine. You can type right now. Otherwise, and we'll just talk in the meantime, and we'll catch up with your comments after we've shared this bit. So over the years, we've said two things a lot. And one is your core emotion doesn't actually change in your lifetime. The impulse, the energetic of your core emotion doesn't change. What does change is your relationship to it. And excuse us, it's been really, really powerful for us because now that we have the personality teachings, we can have a much different conversation about core emotion than we used to have. And also because you've surrendered so much personality that when we talk to people about their core emotion, we're not just fighting with your personality the whole time. We're actually getting into your system and discussing it with you in a state that has so much less personality in the way. So it gives us this opportunity to have conversations at a much deeper level and just in a different way. in a really different way. So it's been very, very, very fulfilling. Lately, we've been doing quite a lot of sessions with people who want to follow up on their core emotion. And if that's something you want to do, be sure to reach out to Veronica. In the process of doing that, finally, Veronica was like, you know, I think I need a follow-up core emotion session. Could I have a follow-up core emotion session? It was funny. We're like, of course. So all along, Veronica's unhealed core emotion has been described as fear of being kicked out of the tribe. And that's a perfectly reasonable way to describe her unhealed core emotion. And she could have used that for now and on. However, in the journey of exploring that, what we with her realize is that a more up-to-date version of her unhealed core emotion is, I don't understand why you don't love me. Okay, same energetic, right? I'm being rejected by you, and I don't understand why you don't love me. You know, similar energetic, but one is much deeper and more reflective of the current state of her experience right now. Right, her current interaction with her core emotion is more of that energy. And for her, that I don't understand why you don't love me, it's just been in a lot of different places in her world of recent. And why this is extra helpful to her and why we're sharing it with you is so that you can see that the movement from saying it the same way for your whole last 15 years into the time of saying, there's a better way to describe this, there's a more accurate way to describe this, it really fueled her, kind of in that way the warrior's talking about, it really fueled her to be on the lookout for her core emotion and to navigate it differently, more carefully, more attentively. You know, it didn't have to just be about the way a community was treating her, but it could be down to a specific person and where it showed up in a relationship with specific people. This idea of, I don't understand why you're not loving me. You know, what did I do wrong? Where did I go wrong? Where did I make the mistake? Can I fix it? You know, that scrabbling around to please everybody kind of a feeling, when in truth, much of the time, the fact that someone's not loving her has very little to do with her and a lot to do with the fact that people are busy or distracted or they get different interests or they just aren't available for whatever reason. And she was interpreting that through the lens of her unhealed core emotion and personality was just jumping on that horse and riding it all the way into the sunset, that it meant things it didn't actually mean. And so this has really empowered her to engage in different ways with certain things that have been troubling. And that was extremely helpful. So we invite each of you to spend some time with your unhealed core emotion and ask yourself very profound questions like, how is personality using my unhealed core emotion to very specifically abuse me, very specifically manipulate me, very specifically push me into a limitation? You know, you can review your unhealed core emotion or your core emotion process. Ask yourself the same questions we asked you during your initial session. You can book in with us if you want to have us help you with this. Ask yourself the questions and see how it might have, your experience of it might have evolved, because you have less personality that you're dealing with. There's more room for you to have a more profound interaction with your core emotion than you have been having. And it's a good time, because really one of the ways we can describe core emotion is to say, this is the very specific way that personality messes with you the most. And as we've said many times, if it's not your core emotion, you probably don't think it's that big of a deal. But, you know, if it's your core emotion, it can take you down to your knees very easily. So we really, really encourage each of you to look at your core emotion and really examine it honestly and ask, how is this affecting me? How is this being used by personality to control my experience, to limit my outlook, to keep me small? Because it's a perfect place for personality to just absolutely manipulate you. And because core emotion is present in every moment of every day, it can be very hard to notice it happening unless you literally seek it out. So this is a great place to unearth and root out the ways that personality is affecting you that you may not actually have already caught. Okay. Any questions about any of that, or comments you want to make, or nobody's typed so far, so is there any typing going to happen? Randy says, great explanation and reminder from Fred. We're not here to make a better human being. There's so much more. Yes, we thought Fred was quite good there. And, you know, we used to talk about the movement from Homo sapiens to Homo spiritus quite often. And this is another example of upgrading the language, right? We can talk about things that we've always talked about, but we can talk about it in a more expansive and deeper way because we have less personality that we have to slog through, filter through. You have less personality to hear us through, right? And the idea that you're not here just to build a better human being, but you're actually here to have a completely revolutionized experience of Earth. An absolutely revolutionized experience of Earth. Now, we know a lot of people get all excited and interested in, like, aliens and people, you know, beings coming from other planets to your planet and all that kind of stuff. And all we'll say on that subject is this. You're the alien. We've said that to you before. You are alien. As in, you are extremely different than the other human beings on this planet. You start onboarding the stuff that Fred was talking about, you don't have to go looking for ET. You're the ET. You're the one who's completely different. You're the one who's exhibiting behaviors and powers and, you know, abilities that are not the normal Homo sapiens stuff. So you do not have to look for aliens. Janair's laughing. You don't have to go looking for aliens. You don't have to go looking for the one who will know better out there. You know, the answer is not coming from outside in. The answer is not coming from outside in. It never has been coming from outside in, right? It's always coming from inside, always coming from inside, always coming from inside, always coming from inside. And this is a perfect example. You want to know esoteric beings? Well, look on the call and say, hi, esoteric beings. How you doing? It's really true. Janair's laughing. Tiffy, I really like what Veronica said earlier. If the question isn't leading to surrender of more personality, then it's just personality refinement. Yes. The idea here of, like, every thought I'm thinking is a thought I've already thought. Every action I'm taking is an action I've already taken. That's all just a conglomeration of more personality. Is it different? No, then it's the same. And personality convinces you, we're getting a little worked up, aren't we? Personality convinces you that just think it 500 more times, and one of those 500 times, you're going to get what you want. You're going to get what you needed. You're going to get it. It's going to happen. But it can't give you anything else. If it could, it would have. You know, we used to always say, if thinking could have solved it, it would have solved it long ago, because you sure have thought about it enough. Think about that. Let that sink in. If personality, okay, we should say it this way. Wow, we're getting really worked up about this. We're quite excited. One of the things we're constantly doing is seeding the field, right? We're constantly throwing stuff out, reinforcing stuff, then we step away from it, and then we come back to it. And we step away and we come back to it. We've done this for 20 years. If thinking could have solved it, it would have solved it long ago, because you sure have thought about it enough. We put that into your field how many years ago, right? We said it to you how many times? Why? So that when we get to this moment, and Tiffany puts that comment there, we can say to you, if personality had the answers, it would have had the answers long ago, because personality has been in charge for all this time. And the computer just crashed. Huh. Well, that's interesting. We wonder if you guys can still hear us. You probably can. You just can't see us, right? So now we have to go on the phone and have someone send us a text telling us you can still hear us. Can someone give us a message telling us whether or not they can hear us? Who can we ask? Let's see. We're trying to work the phone. Okay, Tiffy says you can still hear us. So, good. We're just going to keep talking because the computer completely crashed. If personality, that means we can't see your comments, by the way. So if you're typing, if you need to type, you can type to Veronica on Discord, and we'll try to check the Discord. Otherwise, we'll just talk. If personality, okay, let's everybody take a breath, because now the computer's crashed. Now you don't have a visual. That's fine. Let's take a breath together. We really want, on the heels of all that powerful information that they just gave you, this building energy into the retreat season, everything that's occurring, let's take a deep breath together. Right? And in that deep breath, what we want you to say and feel, let this really sink in all the way deep into your cells. If personality was the answer, it would have given me the answers long ago, because I sure have given it every opportunity to do so. Tiffany is sending us texts of the screen, the chat. This is very clever of you, Tiffany. Thank you. And so Susan says, can hear you fine. Hearing from the full council one after another, you all feel like passionately supportive team of coaches and cheerleaders, specialized brilliance. Yeah. If personality had the answers, your life would have been transformed long ago. Because personality has had every opportunity to transform your life. If personality was going to solve your problems, it would have solved them long ago, because it's had hundreds of lifetimes to do so. Are you feeling this with us? Are you engaged in this with us? And Tiffany will help us by texting anything anybody says. That's easier than you going on. We're having to multitask and we don't care. Go ahead, if you guys can still type in the regular chat, and Tiffany can send it to us on Veronica's phone, let's just do it that way, because that way we don't have to try to check Discord. It's a lot. If personality was the end-all be-all and had all the answers like it claims it does, it would have given you those answers long ago, because it's had every opportunity to do so. If personality wasn't going to be moving goalposts on you, it would have stopped moving goalposts on you long ago, because it's had hundreds of lifetimes to do that. You see how this works? Are you feeling how this works? We set that template into your nervous systems. It feels like hundreds of years ago, but it was many years ago. That template. If thinking could have solved it, it would have solved it long ago, because you sure have thought about it enough. We set that template into your nervous system so long ago so that you would start to recognize, wow, that's really true. Wow, that's really true. Wow, that's really true. And then we come along tonight and we say, if personality was the answer, it would have answered all the questions so long ago. Why? Because you've given it every chance to do so. It's had unfettered access to your life and your nervous system. Unfettered access to your life, to your nervous system. It could be in charge of every single aspect of you for hundreds of lifetimes. And what's the best it could deliver? It's just a really good con artist. It's convinced you that what it has to offer is the best you can ever get. It's a liar. It's a liar. And frankly, we don't feel like there's much more we need to say. Right? There's not much more we need to add to that. We're going to have Mags and the Matriarch. They're going to do one of their fantastic meditations. And that's where it's going to happen. Tiffy says no messages yet. You know, we're not surprised. We don't think we would be able to type either. So we're just going to get Mags and the Matriarch for you, okay? It feels like that's the right thing to do. The train is rolling, right? The train is rolling. There were so many years where, you know, when a train first starts to go, it goes chug, chug, and there's not enough traction or friction or whatever for the train to actually grab a hold of the rail right away. It kind of slips and slides a little as it gets its head of steam. We are rolling now, folks. We are rolling. And there's all these off ramps or switches where there's these different roads of train tracks that go in all these different directions. And there's absolutely no desire to let the train go off the tracks onto all these side roads. Why would you? We are rolling. We are charging ahead. If personality could get you where you are destined to go, you would have already arrived. Let it go. Let it go. We are getting Mags and the Matriarch. They're going to combine how they do sometimes. They want to do a duo for you right now. So we're going to have a duo for you. And it was a request that you have a meditation that you can listen to when you're having physical hard times, when you're having, you know, when uncertainty has got you down, when you feel extra challenged by the vastly changed state, when you feel, you know, all those feelings, right? So they're going to put together a meditation that then you can listen to when you need support around that. All right. Thank you, everyone. You're magnificent. We have a meeting on Sunday. This Sunday, it's going to be special. So come to the very special meeting on Sunday. We have a special thing planned for all of you. And then we have the retreat next weekend. So it's big times. It's big times around here. And for you. We're very proud of each and every one of you. Thank you for what you're doing. The gift you're giving. Just epic, 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 okay? All right, we're getting Mags and the Matriarch combo, and we say goodbye to you for now. Hello to each and every one of you. It is a blessing and an honor to be able to interact with you in this way. We want to gift you with some words and mostly energy to help you when you're feeling the tension and pressure that comes with guiding the gingerbread through the transition into the vastly changed state while navigating disorienting uncertainty. You are the shepherd and the shepherdess of this. Your gingerbread is your flock, and you are caring for it with the love that the shepherd and shepherdess has. The tenderness, the concern, the attention. You're saying, I will care for you. I will support you. I will nurture you. I will feed and water you and protect you from the storms. I am responsible for you. I support you and love you and care for you and gift you with safety and security. You are my charge. I am your shepherd. I am there for you. This is my role. You give to your gingerbread, you give to your body the protection and the love and the concern that you would give to a small animal or a small child. So often you treat your gingerbread as though it's a burden, as though its feelings and emotions and pains and struggles and confusions are something that you have to somehow overcome or force. And we want you to turn instead and imagine it as a babe in arms, as the brand new foal that has just come from the mother horse, as the baby calf that has finally stood up on its feet. Love what you are. Love the body you have. Love the journey it has given you the opportunity to be on. It is not your enemy. It is your responsibility. You are to treat it as the gift it is, as the opportunity it is, and hold it in gratitude, hold it in nurturing, hold it in understanding and appreciation. Physicality transforming on this level is unprecedented, really. So of course there's going to be bumps along the way. But the gift you give to yourself is treating your gingerbread with preciousness. Being so utterly grateful for its access that it facilitates this opportunity for you to incorporate your infinite and immortal self into physicality. And you, in your wisdom, shepherd it into this new way of being as you tenderly nurture it into this new expanse and new experience, as you love it into transformation. If it's challenging, if it's difficult, if it's confusing, if it's hard, okay. Gently, conscientiously love it through the process. Understand that it's enormously challenging that what you're doing, and your body is here attempting to be part of that, attempting to be in partnership with you. You need to love it through the journey, love it through the process. Be grateful for your gingerbread. Part of the benefit of I don't end at my skin is recognizing that you can love the gingerbread, not as I need to love myself, but love the gingerbread as thank you for giving me the opportunity to not only experience love and taste and touch and smell and hearing and all those wonderful things, but transmutation also. You are giving me the gift of transmutation. You are holding space and holding the spot here for my soul to interact with physicality. You're giving me the gift. You're giving me the gift. And in the gift you're giving me, I return it by nurturing you, appreciating you, being gentle with your messages, being gentle with your thoughts and feelings, being gentle with the way that you're expressing the transmutation that you're experiencing, respecting, admiring, appreciating that you're doing this incredible thing. Not who you think you are, but the actual cells of the physical body undergoing metamorphosis. Thank you. Thank you for being willing. Thank you, each and every cell in my body, each and every bone and vein and nerve. Thank you to all my organs, all of my skin, for the love that you're offering me as an infinite immortal soul to give me the possibility of doing this unique and amazing transformational act as a gift to the universe. Thank you for letting me do this with you, partnering with me. Thank you for this. Let me be the shepherd. Let me be the shepherdess you deserve for the amazing commitment you have made to the transformation and transmutation that we are in together. What a partner you are. What a collaborator you are. I love you, and I'm grateful to you, and I respect you, and I admire you, and I am thrilled that you have been willing to walk this journey with me, give me this gift, and make this possible. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Good night. Whoa. Okay, everybody. Wow. Whoo. Whoo, 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 whoo. Whoo, whoo, whoo. Ah, that was a lot. Wow. When they do those combo. Okay, is anybody saying anything here before? I don't want to just hang up if I haven't had a chance to say goodnight to everybody. Tiffy, are people saying goodnight? Okay, thank you. You're welcome. Wow, I am like, whew. I mean, I was already pretty out there once we got to Elohim, but now I want to like hang on to something. So Tiffy says there's no messages. Are you guys still on the planet? Is anyone still on the planet? Oh. Okay. I think I'm on the planet now. Oh, Tiffy's putting messages here. Good night and lots of gratitude. Good night and thank you. I can't really see what people's names are, so I'll just say goodnight. I feel like I kind of need to lay down, so in a good way, though. I've never thought about my gingerbread from that perspective before. That was a big deal. And what I'll do is I'll clip out that meditation and post it separately, so if you guys want to download that to your phone or whatever so you have just that meditation, I'll do that also. I'm gonna go now. I love you. Thank you. Good night. And thank you. And what am I doing? I'm not sure how to, I guess I'm just gonna hang up because I can't work the computer to turn off the call. So I'm just gonna hang up. And if we all hang up, I guess it'll go away eventually. I don't know what to do other than that. So Thank you. Thank you, Tiffy, for helping. Bye, everyone. Sunday, they said something special is going to happen, so I hope you'll be able to tune in live. Okie dokie. Bye-bye.